This is the 248th QuackCast. It is called Infection Control, Infection Prevention, from June 17th, 2025. References, as well as O2 Clever hyperlinks, can be found at the Science-Based Medicine blog entry of the same title and date. Summertime, and the living is easy. Janis Joplin has to be the best female singer ever. Maybe the best singer ever. But there may be those in the comments who disagree. But remember, within the context of this podcast, what I say is canon, which is not the same as being true. It's canon. Anywho, I spend summer on the front porch and rarely venture inside. Outside has the most empty summer nights I can remember. No insects buzzing the streetlight, the porch light, or bouncing on the window trying to get into the light. If bugs have taught us anything, it is not go towards the light. Just a few evidently depressed mosquitoes going through the motions before being swatted into oblivion, now remastered. And if you're going to die, at least die with better graphics. Nothing for the birds and bats to eat, perhaps explaining why the predominant bird of late are crows. Lots of crows. A murder, if you will. It has been ages since I saw a robin or a jay. At least the crows are sentinel chickens for West Nile virus. Don't you love language? A crow is chicken. Quote, some infected birds, especially crows and jays, are known to get sick and die from the infection. Crows start dying off, I'll worry more about those mosquitoes. But perhaps bird flu if the crows start acting out. Quote, crows exhibited nervous symptoms following ingestion of H5N1 infected carcasses. Although, who can really tell with crows? Good news in hard times, at least not all the bugs are vanishing. As an aside, I was colloquially called the bug doctor, although that was the Orkin man. I was also called the IND doctor, which is actually the surgeon. For those not in the biz, IND is short for incision and drainage. I was the ID, infectious diseases, not intelligent design, doc. My goodness, language can get convoluted. Some bugs are thriving. Rubiola? Pertussis? COVID? It's a good time to be a pathogen. An all-you-can-eat buffet across the United States. And even more opportunities for growth are opening up for discerning infections. Not cryptocoins. Nope. Hospitals. For the current administration, in its ongoing effort to make sure infectious disease doctors have enough work, has disbanded the CDC Infection Control Committee, the Healthcare Infection Control Practice Advisory Committee, or HICPAC, which sounds like hiccups. Quote, HICPAC has made 540 recommendations for infectious disease control, and 90% of its suggestions were fully implemented by the CDC, NBC found. The committee provided best practices for preventing and controlling healthcare-associated infections. It shared guidelines on disinfection and sterilization, environmental infection control, and hand hygiene in healthcare settings, among other areas of concern. So why should you care? Because someday you are going to get sick and end up in a hospital. And hospitals are dangerous places, rife with infection and other risks. It takes tremendous effort to minimize these risks. Today, if you go to one of my former hospitals at least, the risk of infection is remarkably small. All thanks to the very hard work of the Infection Control Committee and the hospital staff. So what does infection control, now infection prevention, do? Three main goals. The first is to ensure that patients with infectious diseases, measles, COVID, influenza, MRSA, etc., are placed in proper isolation so that the staff and other patients are protected from the infection. Isolation is expensive and may not be good for the patient and is a royal pain to do. But I was always of the opinion that if your day as a healthcare provider is not an inconvenient pain in the ass, well, you're not doing your job correctly. The second is investigate potential infection outbreaks. These happen at least once a year. New technology, new techniques, new organisms can lead to new infections. Generally, two or three unexpected infections of the same, often unusual, organism triggered an investigation. Sometimes we found a reason, sometimes we didn't, and the problem just went away. We were the FEMA of hospitals, and we know where FEMA is going. And finally, infection prevention. Applying interventions to prevent hospital-acquired infections, surgical wound infections, catheter infections, etc. No good deed ever goes unpunished, and I learned early that any patient intervention can have an infectious complication. My first month as an intern, a patient had a cardiac arrest at home and was successfully revived. The peripheral IV placed during the resuscitation became infected. The staff reseated her stenotic aortic valve, and the valve blew out and killed her, all in about 72 hours. Truly the worst kind of a little bug went ka-choo. For most of my career, I was the ostensible chair, although I sometimes thought I was the stool, of infection control for multiple hospitals. The infection control practitioner did most of the real work. It was my job to back them up. I will admit, for the first 15 or so years, I thought healthcare-associated infections was the price paid for the interventions we provided our patients. How could you not have an occasional infection from a ventilator, an open-heart surgery, or a dialysis catheter? Well, it turned out that almost every hospital healthcare-acquired infection need not occur. If you meticulously followed the CDC/HCPCS guidelines derived from too numerous to count clinical studies, you can drive these infections to almost zero. We maybe had one a year, tops, towards the end of my career. It is, as mentioned, a total pain and expensive. You need a hospital administration committed to doing the right thing, which I always had. Not everyone does. As for example, in private equity-owned hospitals, quote, patients had a substantial increase in infections, falls, and other adverse events. Over the last decade or so of my career, healthcare infections went from common to vanishingly rare. As I say, around one each a year, which was amazing. And what was the origin of these studies and guidelines which led to such a dramatic decrease in infections and subsequent morbidity and mortality? The CDC and HCPCS, their Infection Control Committee. Applying their guidelines prevented a tremendous amount of morbidity and mortality. And now, so long farewell. And why? Because HCPCS was unnecessary. Great. It's nice to know that going forward, there will be no hospitalizations, surgery, central lines, or infectious diseases in the hospital. It looks like MAHA will be a great success. Of course, we all know the results of removing infection prevention provided by unnecessary telephone sanitizers. And if you haven't read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, absolutely put it on your must-read list. Funniest books ever. It was ever so nice to have experts pondering a complex literature and helping guide care. Busy clinicians don't have the time or the expertise that CDC often provides. Provided. It is important to have science-based standards. Well, it used to be anyway. While I understand the rationale for the name of this blog, I think what separates SBM from the current Lysenkoists is reality, not science. I receive reality-based guidelines from the CDC. Moving forward, I expect fictions, fantasy, lies, and delusions. Oh well. I suppose we can add more hospital-acquired infections and the occasional outbreaks in hospitals to the list of future infectious disasters coming our way. And more infections will mean more antibiotic use, accelerating the evolution of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Glad I retired. It looks like I did it at just about the right time. Not so glad that I am an age where hospitalizations will occur all too frequently. Yep, may not be bugs in my yard, but there's going to be hog heaven for bugs in the hospital. And that ends the QuackCast, number 248. References and oh-so-clever hyperlinks can be found at the Science-Based Medicine blog entry of June 17, 2025, Infection Control, Infection Prevention. Thanks for listening. Next time. Bye.